Hi, my name is Caroline Cox, and I'm currently a public relations and political science student at Syracuse University. I have recently completed a 10-day academic seminar in Ireland, where I traveled to Dublin, as well as Derry or Londonderry and Belfast in Northern Ireland. And through formal lectures, readings, tours, and just casual conversation with locals, I've attempted to delve into certain political issues that are pertinent in Ireland today, both in the North and the South. So with it being nearly February of 2019, the formal departure of the United Kingdom from the European Union is just 2 months away with the date set at March 29th. And I wanted to understand how such a monumental event affects Ireland as a whole, particularly in regard to the issues it poses for the Northern Ireland and Republic of Ireland border, and especially with the topic of Irish unification sparking debate in the current political sphere. So I wanted to figure out just how possible unification may be and what's encouraging it and what's discouraging it. So I've included excerpts from two Irish academics that I was able to speak with during my trip, one being a PhD student at Queen's University Belfast and the other an academic with a PhD in Irish studies. And I've not included their names just so that I can share this podcast without compromising their identity in any way. So first we're going to just generally delve into why Brexit poses an issue for Ireland in the first place.
Brexit is a huge issue for us here because we're close, so close fiscally, both North and South, being in the European Union already. If Brexit happens, which I hope it doesn't, but if it, and there's the slightest possibility now that it may not, but if it does, it's going to create a huge crisis because Northern Ireland is the only land border with the EU. So obviously that's one of the backstop, which is one of the issues, one of the big issues stopping Theresa May's government here at the minute. It's a huge, huge deal. But I would say prior to the Brexit vote, I would have said United Ireland is probably very unlikely for a while. But since Brexit, I would have thought, yeah, actually it's probably closer because the Northern Irish piece will want to stay within the EU.
So this land border that she's referring to is a source of a lot of the controversy here. And like she said, it'll be the only land border between the UK and the EU after the UK exits. And currently there are essentially no border controls there, and you don't even realize that you've crossed a border or when you drive through it or walk through it. However, Brexit makes custom rules, regulations and standards on the border a much greater possibility, because after the UK exits, the Republic of Ireland and Northern Ireland will no longer be in the same trade union, and restrictions on goods and new tariffs may have to be introduced. And this could all prove very disruptive to trade and business in both countries. No one wants to see a hard border reintroduced, as there had been before the Good Friday Agreement, but that outcome is looking more and more likely, as I'll explain later. So as of now, we really don't know what a post-Brexit border is going to look like. But the politics of the border are also very relevant to political organizations in Northern Ireland. So it's really important to look at how a harder border fits into the political agendas of both the DUP and Sinn Féin, respectively.
It's interesting because both the DUP and Sinn Féin have historically had unclear policies in regard to European integration. At the moment, the party position, so for the DUP, they are always defined by unionism. So Brexit and a hardening of the border on the island of Ireland, to their position, it strengthens that union, more connection east-west, less north-south. But in that hardening, you have to also note that that's a shift away from the terms of the Good Friday Agreement. Similarly, Sinn Féin, and it's interesting, particularly at the moment, have been very quiet about the whole Brexit situation. Because essentially, Brexit and how it's going on is playing into the hands of Sinn Féin, because it looks like we could be leaving the EU without a withdrawal agreement. They will call for a border poll, and the British government will find it very difficult to say no under the terms of the Good Friday Agreement. So for both parties, Brexit plays strategically, whichever way it falls, it could work to benefit either side's national identity, constitutional vision for this place.
So it's significant that she mentioned how the UK may be leaving without a withdrawal agreement, because I was in Ireland just days before the so-called meaningful vote took place, where the UK government voted no confidence in Prime Minister Theresa May's withdrawal agreement. And luckily we did cover a bit what a no deal essentially is and what it means for the UK.
So if this withdrawal agreement isn't passed through Parliament, the UK will still leave the EU on the 29th of March, but it'll do so in much less favourable terms. It'll be really costly for the economy, and it will be very difficult for people who live on this island, north and south.
Then she went on to discuss some potential scenarios that could result from a no-deal Brexit.
They could then go again on the deal, it can come back. Theresa May could go back to the EU and plead for some changes to the legal text that has already been agreed. The EU are unlikely to allow significant change. They are very likely to stand quite strongly on the Irish issue, which is the most contentious, but they may agree some changes. It would then come back to the House. They would try again to pass it through. There is also the chance that the leader of the opposition, Jeremy Corbyn, at that point says, Theresa May, on these kind of huge significant votes for a government, you're losing, so you don't have a majority anymore. The confidence in your government is gone, so we're gonna call a general election, or we're gonna ask for another referendum.
So right now, we really don't know how this situation is going to play out. Theresa May's withdrawal agreement ensured that there would not be a hard border in Ireland, but now that's all up in the air, and the EU has essentially confirmed that border controls are inevitable if the UK exits without an agreement. So if the border is hardened and the effects prove detrimental to either the economy or to peace preservation in Northern Ireland, it'll play into the political agenda of Sinn Féin and other nationalist groups and support their position on unification. So now we have to look a bit more in depth at why the Republic of Ireland may or may not want unification with Northern Ireland, because there are a number of very valid concerns for people living in the Republic in regard to this.
Now, on the southern side, on the Irish nationalist side, on this in the south of Ireland, what I mean, in the Republic of Ireland, they're very wary of joining with Northern Ireland Catholics there and the whole island, because culturally we're just very different. So when I moved up here, I had to relearn a lot of history and totally understand things quite differently. So Southerners don't want really unite Ireland because they don't want to deal with the mess that's up here. But in terms of the physical border, nobody wants that either. Nobody wants a physical border re-emerging. But essentially, something we'll have to give, whether Brexit happens or not, we'll know now in a few months, and we'll know it really in a couple of days with the vote in Parliament coming up.
Do you think if Ireland were to be united, do you think the Republic of Ireland's government could financially support Northern Ireland?
Yeah, well, that's what I mean about the South not really wanting there to be that to happen. It's a huge question and a huge concern for the South, because Northern Ireland is supported so much by the British government and by the EU, actually, because they gave so much money to Northern Ireland to keep the peace here, with different money going into different causes for and different groups doing cross-community work. And, you know, we have a huge amount of people here out of work, and we have a free healthcare system in Northern Ireland. It's not free in the South. So I think it is a huge worry for the Republic of Ireland.
So the economic state of Northern Ireland is a factor that discourages unification for people in the Republic of Ireland. And obviously, integrating these two economies successfully would be extremely complicated and costly. And it's hard to say how integration could be facilitated, but we did discuss some key points regarding the issue and what the process could look like.
The British government pay $9 billion a year for Northern Ireland. We are pretty costly. In that, I think it's interesting, some parties in the South have started to look at how United Ireland would come about in terms of the economy and things like that. It's key to note, under the terms of Good Friday Agreement, if we voted to be part of the United Ireland, that wouldn't do away with the Stormont government. And so the three strands still stay, so it's not that we would go wholly under Dublin. There would be space for the British government to still pay some money in support of Northern Ireland. Northern Ireland would still also probably receive some of the funds at an EU level. But there is a huge, economically, Northern Ireland is post-conflict. It doesn't stand on its own 2 feet, and that is a real issue. And down south, friends I've spoken to are quite pragmatic on the issue. They would want to know what's the economic plan here. and how we're going to integrate, for example, health services work very differently. Tax regimes at the moment are different. There's efforts to make them equivalent, but yeah, it's a live question.
So there are people who are trying to work out how economic integration between the Republic and the North could be possible and viable. But if a referendum were to occur in favor of unification, Ireland would need the full support of the EU. And it's important to recognize why they probably would have it in this situation.
Another added layer in the situation that is very little talked about in the UK and the British press, is the fact that there are lots of small EU member states in the very growing shadow of the Russian state that has expansionist aims, seems to, very much so, interventionist aims. So the EU see Ireland now about to be a small member state in the shadow of a more powerful, more significant third country state, the UK, as a global player. And so the EU have kind of said, we, like, it's part of what we are to protect small member states. So on the Irish, Northern Irish issue, and the potential conflict that could arise if Brexit goes badly, we as the EU are going to stand four square behind Ireland and Ireland's position. Okay.
This is significant because EU backing will strengthen Ireland's position on whatever stance it takes. And if there is a successful referendum, the EU will be there to help facilitate unification. But even in light of all of this, how likely is it that there will actually be a border poll?
All of the polls suggest that we are moving much closer to a border poll. I think we will see a border poll just definitely in the next 5 to 10 years. I mean, even in the last 2 weeks, the Secretary of State for Northern Ireland has said that one of the consequences of a no deal Brexit, they believe, would be that a border poll would be called, and because of demographic change and electoral changes that we noted in the from the 2017 elections here, the Secretary of State and the government, the British government, would find it difficult not to legislate for a referendum here. The emerging middle of centrist identities here. You have seen a shift since Brexit towards imagining it to be possible that a United Ireland could be better for Northern Ireland's future than staying in the UK. That's very significant in terms of if there was a border poll called, there would be a lot more people who see themselves as either pragmatic nationalists or pragmatic unionists that would be open to hear predictions on what the economic consequences and the future of migrant units would be. So essentially what I'm saying personally is I think I'll see a border poll in the next 5 to 10 years. I'm not fully convinced as how I would vote, but I'm leading as a pragmatic nationalist.
So there you have it. A border poll is probably going to happen at least within the next decade. And this does coincide with the general sentiment of locals that I spoke with in Northern Ireland. However, this is all still so dependent on the next few months with how Brexit plays out and how the EU and the UK decide to control this border. It could very easily end up escalating the demand for a referendum, which in that case, the EU, along with the UK and Irish governments, are going to have to prove that they can facilitate this integration without both economic and social chaos. And it'll be fascinating to see how the events unfold. We're experiencing a time of major political uncertainty at an international level, and looking past the real-world implications of the situation and how it may affect people's daily lives, we can look at this as a test of strength for the institutions and governments involved on whether or not they can successfully navigate this issue. Thank you very much for listening.